banqueting table that you...
Oh, ah, yes, okay.
Thank you.
The power. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus said, it is finished. That's good news. His work is finished for you. It's not finished in you yet, but it is finished. And what we need to do is we need to believe it and receive it. That's simply what we're called to do, to have faith in what Christ has already accomplished for us. If we could see, even for a moment, if God would just pull back the veil of heaven like he did for Stephen, what would we see? We would see our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We would see our intercessor, Jesus, there before the Father, representing us before God. And not only representing us before the Father, but representing his finished work. And there forever, forever, before the throne of grace, it's going to be declared the work that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. And when Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, he writes this, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is yours in Christ Jesus. Every blessing in heaven, every blessing when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, there is blessings now there in his finished work, and they're there for you. So what do we need to do? We need to come and receive them. We need to believe it. We need to receive it. Every day of our lives, including tonight. You know, it's like when you go to a buffet, and all your favorite food is there. What do you do? Do you sit and look at it? Or maybe you talk about it. Ooh, look at those desserts. Look at that meat. Isn't it great? Maybe you'd even sing about it. Whoa, the meat is so good. And that's often what we do in church. We often just hear it or see it. We often just talk about it or preach about it. We often just sing about it, but we're not often receiving it. Receiving what Christ has already stored up for you in heaven. And that's everything you will ever need to live the life he's called you to live. And it's everything you will ever need to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So no matter what you're going through tonight, no matter what you need, no matter what you lack, it is there in heaven for you to receive tonight and every single day. But what you got to do? You got to believe it. You've got to decree it. You've got to speak it out and say, my strength is there. My wisdom is there. Everything I will need, my healing, my forgiveness, my cleansing, it's there already for me to believe it and to receive it tonight so that I will be cleansed and transformed and empowered to live the life that Christ has called me to live. I believe with all my heart, it's time for us as Christians to rise up and to take off all those coats, those lies that we've been wearing, and to just say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, through Christ who changes me, through Christ who leads me, through Christ who forgives me, through Christ empowering me every day to be the woman, to be the man that he has created me to be. I am going to agree with God. And we're going to talk tonight about transformation. We're going to talk tonight about defeating the enemies that come to our lives, defeating the lies, defeating those powers of darkness, defeating anything that the enemy may want to send our way to keep us from living the life that God created us to live. And we're going to get principles tonight because God's word is true. And we need to hear the word of God, we need to believe the word of God, and we need to live the word of God every single day. I pray that the principles that you get tonight and the principles that you already know from the Bible, that you will ask God by the Spirit to help you live them and believe them. Because as we hear, believe, and live the word of God, we are free and we are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to speak tonight from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Is there more light up here? Can't see my Bible. Beautiful. There we go. You can see me now. Thanks. 2 this is a fairly popular passage that I'm sure you know. King Jehoshaphat and the nation of Israel. Three nations have come to war against them. And it is an impossible situation. There is no hope for Israel in their own power. There is no hope that they will be able to defend themselves against these three nations. These three nations will come, they will kill, they will plunder, and they will make whoever lives their slaves. It is a certainty, and there is nothing that Jehoshaphat and the nation of Israel can do in their own power to defeat these forces that are coming against them. Maybe you feel that way tonight. Maybe you feel like there are things in your life and it's impossible for you to overcome them. Maybe the enemy has launched an attack against you, or maybe not against you, but someone that you love. But tonight you are facing things, maybe in your mind or in your heart or in your relationships, maybe financially, maybe at work, but in some part of your life, maybe the enemy is coming and you are facing an impossible situation. Maybe in your body, maybe in your suffering with sickness tonight, and it is impossible for you, or maybe even impossible for the medical profession to do anything to make you well in their power. What are you going to do? What are you going to do tonight? What are you going to do tomorrow? Well, we're going to get some principles out of this word tonight that if we live them, the power of God will be released in us and defeat the foes that are coming against us. God's word is true. God's word has power. What we need to do is believe it and live it. And as we do that, the power of the living God is released through us into the lives of others and into the situations that we are facing that are impossible tonight. There's good news tonight. The Lord is here. So I'm going to read this story. So three nations have come against the nation of Israel. I'm going to start at verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 20. It says this, "Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. And the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. And then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new court, and he said, 'Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. No one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and you will save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came out from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you.'" And I'm just going to stop there for a moment. So here are these nations. They've come against Israel. Now Jehoshaphat, in his wisdom, decides we are not going to win this battle in the physical realm. And so what does he do? He inquires of the Lord. He begins to seek the face of the living God. Indeed, he calls the whole nation together, and as a nation, they begin to fast and seek the presence of God. That is the first thing you need to do in every situation of your life. Do you know that both God and the enemy want to use every situation of your life, especially the difficulties? The enemy wants to use the difficulties to drive you from God. He wants to use the difficult times in your life to get you discouraged, to put you into fear. He wants to bring up the power of worry and anxiety. This is the plan of the enemy in the difficult times of your life. He wants you to focus on him. He wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to believe you're trapped. He wants you to believe that the situation that you are facing or a loved one is facing has become hopeless. What does God want to do? God wants to harness the difficult areas of your life, and he wants to use them to drive you to him. God wants to use the impossible situations so that you'll stand up like Jehoshaphat did and say, "We can't do it. I can't do it. There is nothing I can do to stop this power from attacking me or my family. There's nothing in the human realm that can defeat this foe. I am going to seek the face of the living God." I want to encourage you tonight, go to God. Go to God in your distress. Go to God in the distress that you have for a loved one. Let it drive you to him. Fall on your knees and cry out to the living God for strength and wisdom and power in your area of need. Seek the face of God. Don't let the enemy drive you from God. Don't let doubt and fear and worry and hopelessness overcome you. If those powers have come into your life tonight, then we're going to give you an opportunity at the end to take off the coat of fear and doubt and worry and say, they are not me. I belong to God. I belong to hope. I belong to faith. I belong to truth. I am a child of God, and I'm going to seek the face of the Lord. Now, what happened when Jehoshaphat sought the face of God? Jehoshaphat was given the greatest treasure you will ever be given in your life, and that is a revelation of God. He got a greater revelation of the Lord right in his difficulty, right in the impossible situation. God made himself known. And the God of the universe filled the vision of Jehoshaphat. And what did he begin to do? He began to proclaim it, and he began to say things like, are you not the God of heaven? Do you not rule over the earth? All the nations belong to you, O living God. He got a vision of the Lord. Remember, Isaiah got a vision of God, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and he was never the same again. God wants to give you a revelation tonight of himself, and it is the greatest gift you will ever be given in life. As a matter of fact, you can't move forward in your Christian life until your vision of God grows. You know that you can't be transformed. You can't receive inner healing. You can't even receive the love of the Father until your vision of God grows. Until you know him as a father, until you know him as a lover, until you know him as a healer, until you know him as the Almighty God who has no rival, who has no foe. I have found in my own life that I have had such a small view of God. Even in my difficulties, especially in my struggles, I've had such a small view of God. Do you remember Job? Now, Job was a man who suffered. His entire family was taken from him. All that he owned was taken from him. The enemy was able to afflict his body with boils and the pain of it. And he would go to God and say, Lord, what's happening? Why is this happening? At the very end of the book of Job, God shows up. And what does Job say? He says this, Lord, before all this happened, I had heard about you with my ears, but now my eyes have seen you. You see, Job was given the greatest gift anyone could ever be given. In the midst of his struggles, in the midst of his pain, he saw God. He had a revelation of the Most High. He'd only heard about him before. God's a healer. God's a lover. God's the Almighty. But now he had seen him. And in the midst of your struggles and difficulties and pain, God wants to give you this gift. God wants to grow in your vision. And right, please hear me, specifically in your struggle, he wants to give you a great revelation of who he is. God is your provider. God is your healer. God is your guide. God is your strength. He is your wisdom. He is your lover. See, these are words, but they're true. But what do you need? You need a revelation. You need to see God in your heart. You need to know it in your spirit. This is what God is like. He is great. He is big. He is vast. And he loves me. And he has a plan for me. What about you tonight? In what area of your life do you need a greater revelation of God? Don't be satisfied with what you have today. God wants to grow in your vision. God wants to become bigger in your thoughts, bigger in your heart, bigger in your spirit tonight than he has ever been before. And when you have a great God, you will rise up, put your trust in him, and everything will be different when you see God for who he is in the midst of your difficulties and struggles. I'm not sure last time I was here if I shared some of my testimony, but I guess maybe about 26 years ago now, it really all started for me, my big struggles in life. I was pastoring a church, a Baptist church at the time, and it seemed like every area of my life began to fall apart. It started inwardly. It started with depression, and I became very, very depressed for many years. I fell into hopelessness. I didn't know if there was ever going to be any way out of it. I'm beginning to spiral down emotionally because of it. I became very angry as a person, very frustrated. And I began to take it out on my wife, and it began to severely impact our marriage. So much so that after 7 years of marriage, we decided to split up. We couldn't be together anymore. As a pastor, and I was out of ministry. And it just seemed like my whole life was spiraling out of control, and I didn't know what to do. I was gripped with fear, gripped with worry, filled with anger and bitterness because of these struggles that had come upon my life. And I began to do things to try and make myself better, to try and improve things, to try and fight these enemies that began to come against me, only to realize that I was powerless to make my life better. I was powerless in myself to save my marriage. I could not take away this darkness that all of a sudden was pervading my mind and my heart. I didn't know what to do. And I had no thoughts of ever going back into ministry at the time. It was like three nations had attacked my life. And I didn't know what to do. And I wasn't seeking God at first. I wasn't going to him. I had a very small view of God. I didn't know God is my healer. I didn't know God is my provider. I didn't know God is my sufficiency. I had not really realized in my heart that Jesus Christ said on the cross, "It is finished." I didn't know in my heart, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that every blessing in the spiritual realms was already mine in Christ Jesus. That I already had the millions of blessings that I would ever need stored up for me, but I didn't know how to access them. Why? Because I didn't really believe it in my heart. What was I believing? I was believing in the power of the enemy. You see, often, even as Christians, we have a great revelation of Satan, don't we? We have a great revelation of our sickness or his power or our lack or some way that he's come upon us or our family to attack us. We have a great revelation of his power. And the Lord came to me and he said, "Scott, that has to change, or you're never going to move forward." And so I began, as this passage taught me, to seek the face of God, because I wasn't doing that. I was wrapped up. I was focused on my struggles and my pain and my inability, even as a pastor. I didn't know what to do. So in my brokenness, I began to seek the face of God, to bring it all before him. And the thing he gave me first was the greatest treasure he's ever given me in my life. And that is a greater revelation of who he is. Right in the depth of my struggle, God is greater. He's my healer. He's my joy. He's my strength. He's my strong tower. The enemy is puny. Amen. The enemy is not his foe, really. There's no contest. But what is the enemy and God looking for from me? What do they want? What is the enemy seeking with all his heart from you every day? What's he looking for? One thing. He wants your agreement. That's what he wants. And he'll do anything to get it. And that is what God wants as well. And your whole life, I realized this for myself, my whole life was going to come down to the answer to one question. And the question was this: who am I going to believe? Who am I going to agree with? Because struggles are going to come, aren't they? Difficulties are going to come. And in our difficulties, Satan speaks loud. His voice is amplified, isn't it? And I found myself in my darkness agreeing with him. I didn't know I was agreeing with him. Not until God came and pulled back the curtain and showed me how great he was, showed me his truth, and showed me that I was agreeing with Satan, and I was giving more power to Satan than I was to God. It's far easier for us to believe that we're going to stay in our suffering than we're going to get free. And that is often the case because we have a greater view of Satan and his kingdom and his power than we do of the Almighty God. That was my case. What about you tonight? How are you feeling? What are you struggling with? What is your vision and revelation of God? When I say to you tonight what I said at the beginning, it is finished. How did you receive that? Did you receive it with, yes, it is, brother? Not only that, Scott, but I'm going to storm the gates of heaven and I'm going to receive every blessing that is mine. And I'm going to be transformed and set free for the glory of the living God so that I can be a witness for him in this world. That's the response, isn't it? That's the response. But that is the response of a people who have had a great revelation of God, a great encounter of God in the depths of their being, right in their struggle. That's what Jehoshaphat got. That's why he stood up in the temple and began to proclaim, you're the God of heaven, the Lord of all the earth. No one can withstand you. And we have to speak it out when we've had this great revelation. Parents, speak it out over your children. Speak it out over your household. Tell your children what God is like. Tell your neighbors, tell your coworkers, tell yourself. Speak to your spirit and say, Spirit, rise up because I know the God of heaven. I know the creator of all. I know the sustainer of life. I know the lover of my soul. I know the one who hung on the cross and said, it is finished. Because 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And I rose with him. And I went to heaven with him. And I'm seated with him there in the heavenly realms, far above all earthly rules and authority. And every blessing that is in the heavenly realms is mine in Christ Jesus. But this can only come with a great revelation of God. And that you begin to speak it to yourself every day. God is greater. God is greater. The Lord of the heaven and the earth is greater than my struggle. He's greater than my circumstances. He's greater than anything I will ever face. He's the Lord of heaven. And guess what? I'm his child. And his spirit lives within me. And the spirit is an umbilical cord between me and heaven. And every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm flows through the umbilical cord of the Holy Spirit right into my life. And I'm going to believe it because God is greater. Do you want a greater revelation of God right in your struggle? Well, tonight it will come because God is faithful and he will do it for the glory of his name. He did it for Jehoshaphat. He did it for Job. Matter of fact, he did it for everyone in Scripture. And he will do it for you because he loves you. Not only does he love you, but he has a plan for your life. And he's promised in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, to complete the work he has begun. Do you know that promise? Say it over yourself every day. God is going to finish the work in me and through me for the glory of his name. And then after all this, the impossible situation, seeking the face of God, not the discouragement of the enemy. Seeking the face of God brings a great revelation of God. Then I declare that revelation right into my spirit and into the circumstances of my life. And then Jehoshaphat says this, a verse that we should all memorize. Right here, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. Here it is. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. There's a good life verse. Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Who are our eyes upon? In what direction were Jehoshaphat's eyes pointing? To the God he had a revelation of. To the God that now filled his vision. You see, Jehoshaphat wasn't looking at the armies. He wasn't thinking about the armies. He wasn't living in the impossible situation. He was focusing on the God who showed himself, who now fills his vision. I don't know what to do, Lord. As a matter of fact, I'm weak. As a matter of fact, God, I can't do it. But I choose to focus on you. You can do that, right? You can choose in your heart to say, I focus on the Lord. Not on the difficulties, not on my struggles, not on my sickness, even though that's difficult. Even though it's difficult if we have relational issues and family issues and issues in our thinking and issues in our heart. It's not easy, but it is by the power of the Spirit. It's also, if I can say this, a spiritual discipline that we need to learn as Christians by the power of God to choose to focus on God and not the enemy. Why? I'm going to give you, I think I spoke about this last time for a moment, but I want to say it again. I'm going to give you the biblical principle of faith. Are you ready? Here it is. Faith is a matter of focus, and you empower what you focus on. And that's why Jehoshaphat said what he said. Now, what do I mean by that? Faith is a matter of focus. Well, if you're staring at your problems, if Jehoshaphat was standing on the walls of the city looking at this vast army that was advancing upon him, he would have no faith. But he would live in the power of fear. Because faith is a matter of focus. And as you focus on Goliath, as you focus on the giant and the enemy that comes to your life, what happens? Well, your faith decreases and your fear increases. Why? Because you empower what you focus on. And so as I'm focusing on the difficulties, as I'm focusing on the enemy, that giant grows in my vision. And he grows and he grows and he grows and I get smaller and smaller and smaller, and now I have a giant of a problem and a small little me. And that is the recipe for fear. My inability versus the enemy's power, which I've magnified because I focused on him. But what happens when we focus on Jesus? What happens when we focus on what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, where it says this, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. So as I focus on Jesus, I empower Jesus. So as I take my eyes off of the giant, the struggle for me, the depression, the almost ending of my marriage, the incredible difficult situations that we were going through, my anger, my fear, my distress, this giant that I was focusing and empowering, growing in fear, as I chose by the power of God to take the eyes of my heart, the eyes of my mind, the eyes of my spirit off of Goliath and focus on Jesus, what happened? I empowered Jesus in my vision. I empowered him in my life. And Jesus grew and grew and grew and filled my vision. And now I had a giant of a Jesus and a small little devil. And what happens then? Faith is a matter of focus, and you empower what you focus on. So as I focus on Jesus, my fear decreases and my faith increases. And as my faith increases, I can stand in the battle. As my faith increases, I can receive every spiritual blessing that is mine in the heavenly realms. All by doing what Jehoshaphat prayed. All by doing what Jehoshaphat says. I can't do it, God, but my eyes are on you. Who are you focusing on tonight? What do you think about during the day? What does your heart ponder? Are you living tonight in the power of fear or living a life of faith? I don't say that to condemn. I say that to bring revelation. Because God will set you free. See, the enemy wants your attention. He wants your agreement and he wants your attention. Look at me over here, constantly, constantly wanting your focus. But you have to say, I'm going to focus on Jesus. How do we do it? How do we focus on Jesus? Very simply, as the power of fear and worry, as the impossible situations begin to grip your heart again, as you're face to face with them once again, how do you do it? How do you take the eyes of your heart off of Goliath and put them on Jesus? It begins, as we're going to see, by the simple act of praise. By the simple act of giving thanks. By the simple act of obeying scripture in Thessalonians where it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for me in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to give thanks and praise, even though I don't feel like it. Because remember, we don't live by emotion, we live with emotion as Christians. So we're not led by emotions. Emotions follow obedience. So if you're obeying the enemy, then negative emotions will follow your life. If you're obeying God, then his positive emotions will come into you and you will live in the power of the fruit of the Spirit. So everything, I want you to see it, everything in your life begins by obedience. Whether you're obeying Satan or obeying God, everything is obedience. But who is the one you're obeying? Who is the one you're listening to? Who is the one you're focusing on? I pray tonight that you decide in your heart, I don't know what to do. It is an impossible situation. I admit it. I'm not going to downplay it. I'm not going to live in a fantasy land. I am struggling. It is hard. But I'm going to focus on Jesus. And focusing on him is going to bring what? A revelation of him. A revelation will enable me to rise up in faith and receive every spiritual blessing that is mine in Christ Jesus. It's already there. We just have to learn to receive it. And we can only receive it as we live God's way. So what about you tonight? What do you want? I know what you want. God knows what you want. And he's calling you tonight. Come and receive a revelation that will set you free forever of the Almighty God. So let's finish our passage and then we're going to pray. So here in verse 13, it says this. All the men of Judah and their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, and a descendant of Asaph. As he stood in the assembly, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army,
for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge of the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions and stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Do go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. And then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood up and said, "Listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." And after consulting to the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever." And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. And after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another.
Wow. So here's Jehoshaphat after his great revelation, after his great declaration of the glory of the living God. He comes out. Some of the prophets stand up, and one of the prophets begins to say, "Do not be discouraged. Put your faith in the Lord. Stand and see the deliverance of our God, for the battle belongs to the Lord." Whew. That's good news. So what is the Lord calling us to? He's calling us to stand. What does Ephesians chapter 6 say, right? After having done all else, stand. Stand in the power of God. Stand in the revelation he's given you. Stand as you focus on Jesus. Stand covered in his might and power. But it is not your battle to fight or win. See, I want you to see it tonight. It is not yours to fight for. It is not your victory to win. It is yours to receive. It's yours to receive. When Jesus went to the cross, it was the greatest battle ever fought in the history of humanity. It was the greatest war that was ever waged when Jesus was on the cross. And there he was annihilating the powers of darkness and this demonic kingdom of Satan and sin that came against us. And he defeated the kingdom of darkness on your behalf, so that you could rise with him, become his son, live in his victory, seated with him, and have access to every spiritual blessing. So you see, Jesus doesn't call you to wage war. He calls you to enter into his victory. He calls you to enter into the victory he's already won, he's already fought. See, being a Christian is not about knowing how to fight. Being a Christian is all about knowing how to stand and receive the victory of Jesus. Entering in to the one who has already fought on your behalf. And this was foreshadowing it. This was a picture of it in the Old Testament, of what God was going to do. He was going to deliver his people in a supernatural way, and they would just have to stand and see the victory of our God. And at the end, what did they do? They went and plundered the enemy's camp.
They went and took all the wealth, everything. That's what Christ did. He plundered hell to populate heaven. He plundered the camp of the enemy for you. He took you out of that camp and put you into a new camp, the winning camp, the victorious camp, the Lord Jesus Christ. He fights your battle. What do you need to do? You need to stand as you seek him and focus on him and get a revelation of who he is. You will stand. And as you stand, you see, what does the enemy really want to do? He wants to topple you over, doesn't he? He wants to get you out of your standing. He wants to get you out of faith. He wants to get you out of truth. He wants to get you out of the power of the Spirit. He wants to get you out of that place of anticipating the greater things of the kingdom. He wants to topple you over by his lies and his power and his distractions and all of the things he throws at your life so that you will not live the life that God has called you to live. Because he knows he's defeated. He knows the battle's been won. There's two wills of God for every life. First, God wills everyone to be saved. Second, God wills that everyone live for him. And the enemy wants to defeat both of these plans. Now, the first plan has failed, I pray, in every life that is here. I pray you're saved. But there's the enemy's second plan, which is this, to keep you from living the life that God has called you to live. He doesn't want you to be effective. He doesn't want you to be blessed so you can become a blessing. He doesn't want any of it. So he just wants to topple you over so that you do not stand in the kingdom. You do not stand in the finished work of Christ. You do not stand in faith. That's what he had done to me. But thankfully, God brought me back to a place. Got a revelation. I was focusing on him, and I could stand. And then what does he say? Well, Jehoshaphat, now with a great military strategy, sends a worship team before the army to defeat three nations. See, that's foolishness to us, isn't it? It's foolishness to man. But what did God know? God knew this, that the real battle was not an earthly battle. See, Israel were the people of God. And what was motivating this army? Satan, his kingdom, was motivating these three nations to come and destroy the people of God. So God knew that the real battle was in the heavenly realms. And if that battle was defeated, then he could confuse the enemy down here. And that's the problem. And so it says this, that as they began to praise and give thanks, as soon as it left their lips, God confused the armies. They turned on one another and killed each other. And they did not have to do a thing. Because we wrestle not with flesh and blood. And the weapons of our warfare are not of this world. They are divinely empowered, remember. We have to fight God's way or we will be defeated all the time. What about you? How's your praise? How's your thanksgiving going? In the midst of my depression, I was a professional complainer. I was. I grumbled and complained every day. Everything was negative. Everything was bad. Everything, oh, blah, blah, blah. It's terrible living with me. It's hard to be around someone that complains all the time, isn't it? Grumbling, because it pollutes the atmosphere that we're living in. Well, here it is. Here's the spiritual principle. Complaining is the praises of Satan. If you live a life of complaining and grumbling, you are singing praises to the devil. Why? Because he has got from you the exact agreement. You are agreeing with him about the circumstances of your life. You are agreeing with him about the past, the present, and the future as you complain. Well, tonight, what can you do? You can turn from that. You can confess that. You can say, God, I don't want to complain anymore. I don't want to grumble anymore. I now declare that I am in Christ. I am a woman of praise. I am a man of thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving will be in my mind and be in my heart. By the power of the Spirit, I've had a revelation of the living God. And as praise and thanksgiving go before you and pave the way of your life, it will empower God's work within you. And God will come and defeat the enemies. God will come and do his work in your life. Why? Because from first to last, you've lived his way and therefore empowered his will in your life. From first, seeking him, getting a revelation, declaring that revelation, focusing upon him, and then with all that behind you, you decide to stand. The battle's not mine. I'm not strong enough. I can't do it. But what I can do by the living God is stand by faith because I focus on Jesus. And as you're standing in faith, just allow your lips to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you're doing in my life. Thank you for everything. And I thank you now for what you're going to do. I praise you. I declare, even though I'm in a struggle, Lord, you are good. And your love endures forever. And if you live God's way, you will have God's power. And you will have access to every spiritual blessing that is laid up for you tonight in the heavenly realms. That's good news, isn't it? So what about you tonight? Do you want this? Do you want to enter in? There was a word tonight about leaving behind the old life and entering in to what Jesus Christ has already accomplished for you. That's what I want you to think. It's already been done. So now I just need to learn how to receive it. And that's what we've learned tonight. How to enter in. So do you want this? Do you want to leave behind? Do you want to take off those old coats and put on the coat of heaven and live the life that God has called you to live? Do you want that tonight? Yes. Then let's stand together, please, and begin to receive what the Lord has for us tonight.